Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Polita Talk with Tanbir, with your host, Tanbir. This is the fifth installation to this podcast series. Moving forward, I'm considering conducting more interviews with, you know, political activists, people that are involved, aware, candidates, hopefully, and people with different perspectives. I'm always interested in hearing different perspectives as long as they're logical. And if you'd like to express your perspective, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter at itstanbirc or email me at politatalkwithtanbir@gmail.com. So to start off this episode, Oregon's Democratic primaries are passed. Joe Biden is declared the winner. 81 of the votes have been reported in, with Biden securing 68% of the overall vote count, as well as 45 of the 61 delegates Oregon has to offer. Bernie Sanders secured 20.6% of the votes, passing the 15% threshold needed to gain state delegates, so he secured 8. Elizabeth Warren received 9.8% of the reported votes, and Tulsi Gabbard 1.8%, neither gaining any delegates from it. There still are 8 delegates left to allocate, so we should keep an eye out to see how that goes. Now, for coronavirus, COVID-19, the U.S. death toll has exceeded 90,000, with 1.58 million confirmed cases. New York is at the top of that list. We have more cases than any country in the world alone in New York, with 353,000, with 22,800 deaths. New York City has 195,000 of those cases and 15,700 deaths. So the coronavirus is only growing. Republican governors and Trump, his administration, they're working to reopen states, but that just is purely illogical. It's an illogical thing to do until we have an actual vaccination or cure to fight the virus, because as of now, the truth is that we can't. So reopening back up, we're just inviting it to enjoy a bigger field again. Michael Flynn, Trump's former national security advisor, is being released from prison early under furlough, where he will carry out the remainder of his sentence at home. Flynn was sentenced to prison after having made false statements and lying to the FBI in 2017. The Republican majority Senate voted to approve a subpoena for a consulting firm linked to Ukrainian natural gas firm Burisma Holdings as part of an investigation into Hunter Biden's role on the board of that very firm, the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. Republican majority strictly voted amongst party lines to approve this notion, so it was an 8-6 vote. Mitt Romney, Republican Senator of Utah, he voted along with his party in this scenario. He also is the only Republican senator and the only senator in history to have voted to convict the president of their party during impeachment trials. Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi accused this notion as a clear act of retaliation and political retribution intended to help the president keep his job. In terms of elections 2020, former Democratic presidential candidate Marianne Williamson has announced her political endorsements, a very huge one being in favor of Shahid Buttar, the first Democrat, a progressive one, to beat the primaries and advance to face Pelosi in California's 12th district general elections. He's going to be her first real Democratic opposition in 30 years, so that's a big deal. Some other endorsements include Eva Putsova for Arizona's 1st District, Michaela Wilkes for Maryland's 5th District, Nabila Islam for Georgia's 7th District, Rebecca Parson for Washington's 6th District, Jen Perelman for Florida's 23rd District, Hector Azguera for New Jersey's 8th District, Lauren Ashcraft for New York's 12th District, Ed Markey for the U.S. Senate in Massachusetts. He's the current incumbent. He's primaried by Joe Kennedy. And another endorsement from Marianne is from my own district, Shaniat Chowdhury, New York's 5th District. I'm incredibly honored to know and be followed by several of the names I have listed, including Senator Ed Markey. Check out their campaign pages, sign up to phone bank or text bank for them, and if you can, donate as well and support down ballot progressives. Shaniat Chowdhury's campaign is hosting a 2-hour text banking event on May 22nd. from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. So to sign up, go visit his Twitter at Shaniyat2020, S-H-A-N-I-Y-A-T-2020, and RSVP. President Trump has lashed out at Michigan and Nevada, two swing states with Democratic governors. You know, Barack Obama won Michigan in 2008 and 2012. Trump won it very narrowly, and then they elected a Democratic governor, Gretchen Whitmer. So he lashed out against these two states because they both pushed for statewide mail-in voting for the 2020 election. They're going to approach mail-in voting, and they're going to allow it. And he threatened to withhold funds from them, which is honestly what we shouldn't be surprised, but it still is a disgusting notion for the president of the United States to do, to be playing color politics and be stingy against aiding blue states, because he makes it very clear he doesn't want to help you unless, you know, he can count on you to make him win. That's a ridiculous way to be a leader. And, you know, he seems to hate mail-in voting despite the fact he loved being a part of it in Florida. In Florida's primaries, he voted by mail, but he doesn't want you guys doing it. High voter turnout, especially in Nevada, where the Latino population is massive, is definitely not good news for Donald Trump, because statistically speaking, and projections show too, research and evidence shows that the higher the voter turnout, the more Democratic leaning it is. Depends on where you go, obviously, but in terms of federal elections. So Trump, again, he's saying he's going to hold funding from both of these states. It's honestly just what you'd expect from an incompetent childlike person. And that's exactly what he is. While we are on the topic of voting by mail, a federal judge moved to allow voters in Texas to vote by mail if they're afraid of getting infected by COVID-19. So there's a lot of states that are allowing mail-in voting. A lot of those states are states that Trump won, whether they're safe red states, well, hardly safe red states, but it's mostly swing states. So I guess in his shoes, he has to be worried, you know. Not a lot of people in 2016 were passionate about Hillary Clinton. She had the lowest approval out of any Democratic nominee. Passion was at an abysmal low for her. So Trump kind of won because of that low passion and low voter turnout. If not voting was a candidate, it would have won 2020. So he doesn't want mail-in voting. Because also, we have yet to recognize Election Day as a holiday. A lot of people can't even vote on Election Day because they have to go to work or to class or whatever is going on in life. You know, I am lucky enough. I make the time to go vote. So election time, if I have a class or if I have work, I just make sure I go like 2 hours before to my poll site, because luckily it's like 3 blocks from my house. And I vote and I go about my day. But there's thousands of people who can't do that. So Donald Trump doesn't want them to do that. It's pretty clear Republicans don't want people to be able to vote comfortably. That's why they block any notion to make voting more accessible and easier to do. So if you look at the numbers for Texas, over 2 million Democratic voters went out and voted in Texas's 2020 primaries, while 1.9 million Republican voters voted. So it's a very narrow margin, and this is just the primaries. Generals typically have a way higher voter turnout than primaries do, so that's just something to look out for. Texas also historically, you know, it swung purple when Beto O'Rourke ran against Ted Cruz for the Senate. Ted Cruz narrowly won. That's not something you'd expect in Texas. So again, Donald Trump has these factors to be worried about. That is all for this week. Again, check out Shaniyat Chowdhury's campaign page. Also, make whatever district or state you live in, find out if you have a progressive candidate running for you, your district or state, and support them. Sign up to volunteer and donate if you can. The reason I'm pointing out Shaniyat Chowdhury is because, again, this is my district after all, so it's important to me. Gregory Meeks has been the representative of this district since before I was born. He started in 1998. He's hardly done anything for this district, if he has ever done anything. He's not even accessible. You can't get in contact with him, whether it's in D.C. or New York City. You can't get in contact with him. He's not there for us. He's the most corrupt Queens Democrat there is after Joe Crowley, and Joe Crowley got beaten by AOC. So, again, taking down Gregory Meeks, a lobbyist pocketed hack, that's a priority for me. So, if you have any questions or comments or even insight and expressions, reach out to me on Twitter again at itstanbirc, itstanbirc, or email me at politatalkwithtanbir@gmail.com for possibly even an interview. Whether you're a swing voter or you will vote for Biden or you're considering Trump or third party, as long as you have logic backing you up, I am interested in hearing it and questioning it. So that's all for this week. Stay safe. Stay indoors. If you must go out, practice social distancing. Stay 6 feet apart. Wear masks and gloves. I wish you and your family a safe and good week. Good evening.